Blog Talk Radio.
Healing rain is coming down. It's coming nearer to this old town. Rich and poor, weak and strong. It's bringing mercy. It won't be long. Healing rain is coming down. It's coming closer to the lost and found. Tears of joy and tears of shame are washed forever in Jesus' name.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble. Thank you so much for taking time out of your real busy day to join me. Today, we're continuing on with a live reading of my new book, The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. This is part 7, and there will be one more part after this, and we will conclude. Today, I'm beginning on page 84. Shadi Paveh, a compassionate voice for the voiceless. A continuous reoccurring theme in the Bible is standing up for the oppressed and seeking justice for the helpless. As a Christian, this is the passion of my heart, and in particular, I have this passion for my friends in Iran. Recently, on my Cross in the Desert radio program, I had the privilege of interviewing Shadi Paveh, a prominent Iranian human rights activist who shares the same passion that I have in speaking up for the hopeless and oppressed. Shadi is a witness to the inhumane torture and oppression of people, having grown up in Iran during the 1979 revolution. One of the most painful experiences she experienced was saying goodbye to her father at the airport in Tehran. Her father was a military man under the Shah and was involved in a coup to overthrow the Ayatollah Khomeini, the new dictator of Iran. Shadi vividly remembers her father telling her that if the coup was successful, she would see him again, and if not, she wouldn't. "There are some things worth dying for," her father proclaimed to her. Unfortunately, that was the last time that Shadi saw her father. He and many other generals were executed by Khomeini. The unjust treatment of religious minorities, and particularly the Baha'i faith, was the catalyst for Shadi to begin her campaign for human rights. Today, she is busily involved in translating documents and letters from political and religious prisoners in Iran, in order to expose their gross human rights violations and make them known to the world. Shadi explained the emotional toll the letters she translates has on her, and described how she finds herself weeping and sobbing for hours over their horrible conditions. One prisoner urged her in a letter to tell the world that since Hassan Rouhani, the new president of Iran, took office, the conditions in the prisons have worsened. Shad pointed out that there are approximately 10 executions per day instead of 10 a month since the installation of the new president. The conditions in the prison are deplorable, according to Shadi. There are 60 to 80 prisoners crammed in a small room together with no beds or pillows. Therefore, the prisoners are forced to sleep on the floor together. Prisoners have no access to medicine. Many of them will die from infections and poisoned food if they don't die first from the continuous beatings and torture that regularly occurs almost every day. When I asked Shadi how does she emotionally cope after reading about suffering and evil in Iran, she responded by saying that every time she receives a letter, she prays and asks strength from God. Despite the 35 years of grotesque crimes that the Iranian government has committed against its people, Shadi still has hope for a free Iran one day. She believes that democracy and peace can only be achieved through forgiveness and hope. Goodness always triumphs over evil, Shadi proclaims. Being a voice for the voiceless is near and dear my heart, and Shadi Pave exemplifies this in so many wonderful ways. She approaches her job with much humility and grace, with no intent to harbor hatred against the vilest of offenders. In our interview, she continually emphasized forgiveness. Forgiveness is what Jesus taught us to do when persecuted by our enemies. Forgiveness and mercy is who God is. Shadi doesn't receive an income for her tireless work. She spends endless hours translating letters and being a voice for the hurting and oppressed. She remembers where she came from, and she has dedicated her time, life, and energy to those who cannot speak up for themselves. I truly respect and admire this courageous woman. Like her father told her for the last time, Shadi, there are some things worth dying for. Shadi has taken the last words of her father and given her life as he did in standing up for the voiceless. God is calling us to do the same. Will you be a voice today? Akbar Mohammadi, a martyr for peace and freedom. The light of injustice will not burn forever. If it burns one night, it will be extinguished tomorrow. On July 30th, 2006, 34-year-old pro-democracy activist Akbar Mohammadi died in Evin prison after enduring 7 long years of grueling torture at the hands of the brutal Iranian regime. He had been arrested in 1999 after taking part in the student uprising demonstrations, the largest pro-democracy movement since the 1979 Iranian Revolution. Akbar spent most of his incarceration enduring long hours of interrogation, beatings, and torture. A week before his death, he had been on a hunger strike protesting the refusal by authorities to allow him to seek medical treatment for his injuries. Akbar is just one example of the many thousands of political prisoners who are silenced by a brutal regime for speaking out against the gross human rights violations that occur daily in Iran. Freedom of speech and freedom of religion is a precious gift that most of us enjoy, but in Iran, the gift of freedom and democracy is only a hope and dream in a society ruled by Islamic law. Today is a very painful day for my dear friend Nazrin Mohammadi. Nazrin is Akbar's sister. She loved her brother and was very close to him. Since his death, Nazrin has worked very hard to keep her brother's vision of peace and freedom alive. One way she has accomplished this is by publishing Akbar's prison diary that describes in detail the beatings and torture he endured on a daily basis. Ideas and Lashes, The Prison Diary of Akbar Mohammadi, is a powerful book that describes what it was like for Akbar in Evin prison. Akbar vividly describes the long, grueling hours of interrogation, repeated questions, demand for answers, and even when he told the truth, the interrogators responded by beating the bottom of his bare feet with steel cables until he passed out. Daily floggings, no medical treatment, and very little sleep between endless interrogations was the daily routine for Akbar. At one point, Akbar was handcuffed and hung upside down, a painful and agonizing form of torture designed to force him to reveal the names of other students involved in the demonstrations. Yet Akbar refused to tell and remained loyal to his friends until the very end. Nazrin writes in Ideas and Lashes that her brother gave his life for democracy and freedom for his fellow citizens. She also pointed out that Akbar stood up against the injustices of his fellow inmates, and for that reason alone, he was subjected to more beatings and torture. Whenever our family sent him cash in jail, Nazarin writes, he would immediately share it with his cellmates, keeping the least amount for himself. In spite of the painful suffering Nazarin and her family endured following the sad death of her brother, there is a glimmer of justice in this tragedy. Nazarin and her brother Manachar were invited to the White House by President George W. Bush and honored for their courageous fight for freedom in Iran. The fight for freedom and human rights in Iran is an ongoing struggle that continues to claim the lives of many brave protesters. In the midst of his captivity, Akbar wrote a poem of hope, a light in the darkness that looked forward to the day that the struggle would finally come to an end. In the midst of his suffering, Akbar clung to the hope for a free Iran one day. The light of injustice will not burn forever. If it burns one night, its fires will be extinguished tomorrow. How long will sorrow be the joy of my existence? Much sin has been committed in your name, O freedom, on the threshold of execution, gallows, torture rack, and prison. Wine and raise their glasses in your name, O freedom. The dark nights are over, my friend, and we will see the dawn when the sun rises on the edge of freedom. Akbar. A death in Borazajan. Remembering Shabnam. Mouchetti is a 1967 French film directed by Robert Bresson and starring Nadine Nordier and Jean-Claude Guibert. Nadine stars as a young, troubled teenage girl named Mouchetti, the daughter of a bullying alcoholic father and an ailing mother, living in an isolated French village. Mouchetti's life is filled with both tragedy and cruelty, spending her entire day caring for her infant brother and bedridden mother. At school, she is continuously mocked by her classmates and humiliated by her teacher when she sings off-key. One eventful day, while walking home from school, her life is changed forever. She gets lost on the woods during a violent storm and seeks shelter at a nearby home. The owner of the home, Arseny, an epileptic alcoholic, takes Mouchetti in from the storm and then schemes to use her in covering up the murder of a man he had a fight with. After Mouchetti agrees to help Arseny by repeating a cover story that absolves him of the blame, he then rapes her. Later on, she reluctantly tells the cover story and explains that on the night of the murder, she was with her lover, Arseny, giving him the perfect alibi. Mouchetti eventually returns home, filled with shame and humiliation, only to find her mother's condition worsening. Sadly, a few days later, her mother dies and Mouchetti is devastated. Unable to cope with her grief and humiliation, Mouchetti goes to a nearby lake and drowns herself. Suicide, an all-too-common, sad ending to the lives of teenagers all over the world whose lives are broken from shame, guilt, and misery. In Iran, suicide is the second leading cause of death. The major contributing factor to the suicide epidemic in Iran among the youth is the strict government supervision that leads to fear and oppression and an overall sense of hopelessness. The main victims of suicide in Iran are young women. In the Islamic society of Iran, women are viewed as subservient to men. The Quran, Islam's holy book, proclaims that, quote, men have authority over women because God has made the one superior to the other. Surah chapter 4, verse 34. Therefore, the woman is treated as a possession of the man, relegated to the role of little more than a housewife and a mother who has no expectations of becoming anything more. The superior male worldview in an Islamic society is very oppressive to the woman. The Quran teaches that a man can inherit twice as much as a female, Surah chapter 4, verse 11. He can also beat his wife if he suspects her of adultery, Surah chapter 4, verse 35, and can marry up to four women, Surah chapter 4, verse 3. In contrast, the woman must ask permission from her husband to leave home and is forbidden from traveling alone. She is little more than a slave or a possession. In public, she is required to wear a hijab And if the morality police discover she is showing too much skin or wearing makeup, she will be arrested at police station until a significant bail is posted for her release. Shabnam Basri, a 14-year-old teenager, full of life, full of great expectations and dreams, was born into this kind of society. In Borazan, located in the south of Iran, Shabnam was like any other ordinary teenage girl, vibrant, full of life, excited to realize all of her dreams, and yet, underneath her smile was an inner pain, a troubled soul, a deep despair. She witnessed the religious hypocrisy all around her and considered what her life would actually become living in a male-dominated society. Reflecting on the destiny and fate of her life, Shabnam felt hopeless and trapped and decided to commit suicide rather than be another victim of female oppression. Like many other women in Iran had done before her, she set herself on fire, protesting against the dictatorship of the Islamic regime. Saddened and broken by her death, Shabnam's classmates laid flowers on her desk at school for several weeks as a tribute for her life. Despite all of the sorrow and pain surrounding her, Shabnam found solace and comfort in the poems of Ahmed Shamlou, an Iranian poet of liberty who is a humanist with hope and passion for justice. One of his most well-known poems, Ada in the Mirror, is beautifully inscribed on her gravestone, a lovely tribute to a young teenage girl whose life was tragically cut short because of an oppressive society's archaic and medieval treatment of women. In the midst of this painful tragedy, Nasim, Shabnam's beautiful sister, now carries the torch for women's rights, writing articles and speaking out. She has become a voice for impoverished and suppressed women in India and all over the world, working tirelessly to improve their societal situation. There are many Shabnams in the world crying out for help, desperate for someone to hear their voices. This is the reason why I wrote my book, The Rose of Nowruz, Dreams of Hope and Freedom. My book is based on the stories and experiences of my friends in Iran struggling for hope and freedom in a society just like the one Shabnam grew up in. The suicide rate among women in Iran is frightening. There is brokenness, hopelessness, and despair that is tormenting the soul of every young woman. Their only desire is to grow up normally and realize their own dreams through hard work and education. Who hears the cries of the Shabnams of the world? Who is willing to listen? I know one person who does hear and who does listen. He is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. His name is Jesus. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Why not come to him today? Please don't hang my daddy. You are Sunni dogs who must be hanged. Iranian trial judge Mokhesa. Children are gifted with many amazing creative abilities to draw pictures of the things in life that bring them great joy. They draw pictures of beautiful rainbows, picnics in the park with mommy and daddy, their favorite pets, and the list goes on. But rarely does one see a picture that depicts sadness, suffering, and death. One such rare exception was a drawing by 4-year-old Mohana Ahmadi. Mohana didn't draw a picture of her dog and cat, or a picture of playing with her best friend, or a bright colored picture of the sun shining. Instead, she drew a picture of her father being hanged in Iran. Mohana drew a picture of her standing next to her mother, holding hands and watching her father being hanged. When I gazed upon this heartbreaking drawing, I was driven to tears. Mohana, an innocent 4-year-old child, was doing her best to understand the cruel and suffering world around her. She picked up a crayon and said to the world, "Please don't let them hang my daddy." The picture of this precious 4-year-old was desperately crying out to you and me over the internet and pleading with the government not to hang her father. Hamid Ahmadi was one among 3 other Sunni Muslims on death row for the alleged crime of murdering a pro-government cleric. Ironically, the murder of the cleric did not take place until long after the 4 were arrested And so the Iranian regime dropped the original charges and instead tried them on the charges of mohabbeh, enmity with God, and acting against national security by supporting opposition Kurdish parties. However, when one understands the contentious history between the Sunnis and Shias, then it becomes obvious the real reason these four Sunnis are on death row is because of their religious orientation. Soon after the death of Muhammad in 632 AD, there arose a dispute of who would be his successor. The Shia party declared that Muhammad had appointed Ali, his cousin and son-in-law, to be the rightful successor. The Sunnis disputed this claim, and that's when the contention wars began. During the Battle of Karbala in 680 AD, Ali's son, Hussein, was killed, and this further deepened the division between the Shias and the Sunnis. The Sunnis, the largest majority group of Islam, rejects the teachings of the Shiites because they venerate the Imams and look to them for spiritual guidance. Sunnis consider this as blasphemous and idolatrous and reject any association with them. After the Iranian Revolution in 1979, the remaining Sunni population suffered intense discrimination in employment and were prohibited from broadcasting and expressing their opinions. Thus began the long and bitter history of discrimination against Sunni Muslims in Iran. After their trial, Iranian Judge Mogashich warned the four Sunnis to be quiet and declared, "You are Sunni dogs who must be hanged." He warned them to be quiet and ordered them publicly to leave the courtroom. Intelligence agents began threatening their families and cautioned them to remain silent or else face dire consequences. Gazing upon this innocent, beautiful, and sad drawing, I quickly consulted with my dear friend Shadi Parveh, a powerful Iranian human rights activist, and together we began speaking out for the four Sunnis and sending out numerous petitions for people to sign. Shadi had been my guest on my Cross in the Desert radio program, and we talked about the dire situation of the four Sunni prisoners, pleading with people on Facebook to sign their petition. We spoke out and prayed and waited. 2 weeks ago, while I was working at my bookstore, my friend Shadi greeted me with some incredible news. She shared a post that the four Sunni prisoners who had been on a hunger strike had been taken off of death row and returned to their normal prison cells. I was overjoyed beyond words. I quickly excused myself and ran into the back stock room of the bookstore and just cried for joy. Our praying and petitioning had been heard. I believe with all of my heart that four-year-old Mahana's drawing had touched the heart of our compassionate God. I tried to visualize and imagine how she was feeling in that moment. I thought to myself, Mahana, you can make another drawing. You can draw a new picture of your father without a noose around his neck. Although Hamid Ahmadi is still not free, he is still a prisoner of Iran, he is at least still alive. Mahana still has a daddy. My prayer is that one day she can draw a new picture of holding hands with her father once again, only this time it's a picture of him alive, free, and finally out of prison. Religious superstition, Moral story. I meet regularly with Moral on Skype and teach her correct pronunciation of English words. Recently, she wrote her story for my new book. I have made a few changes in her word usage to clarify the meaning without changing too much of the text. What remains is in her own words. My government is very deceptive. They fill my people's minds with religious superstition in order to control them. They assume that we are like sheep, dumb animals that will blindly believe and obey anything they tell us. Our economy is awful. Many Iranians, including myself, struggle to survive every day. Yet, because of religious superstition, many Iranians throw their money away worshiping at the tombs of imams. We are taught that there are 12 imams in our religion that receive special guidance from Allah, and if we desire to go to paradise one day, then we must cry and mourn over their deaths. Ever since the Arabs invaded our homeland over 1,000 years ago, our culture and history has been changed. We no longer have a real Persian history, but now must accept the teachings and customs of Islam. There is a well in the city of Qom near Tehran, where according to legend, the 12th Imam, known as the Mahdi, disappeared one day. This is called the Well of Jamkaran. Iranians are taught that if they want to solve their problems, that all they have to do is write it down in a letter and toss it into the well. Oh, the deception of religious superstition. My government is not tolerant of any other religious viewpoint but Islam. If someone is a Christian or a member of the Baha'i faith, they will be discriminated against by the government and will be unable to get a job or go to university. I am very grieved by all of this religious superstition. Why are my people so easily persuaded and deceived? I try to convince them of these lies, but they won't listen to me. I get so frustrated that I want to leave Iran and never. Maral gets very emotional when she talks to me about the problems in her country. It fills her heart with sadness and despair that her people are so easily deceived by the lies of the government. Her dream is to one day migrate to America with her son and begin a new life with true freedom and happiness. This concludes today's reading from my book, The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. On our next program, we will conclude with the last two stories, and then I'll have some things to share with you. But I want to take this time right now to just say that it is a pleasure being their voice. It is a pleasure to speak up for them. My good friend, her name is Miriam, that lives in the city of Maravan, she said just the other day that she loves to be salt and light for God. She is trying to make a difference in her culture by sharing her Christian faith with many of the Kurdish Muslims that live there. And I ask that you would pray for my good friend Miriam. She just told me this morning on Viber it is her desire to come to America. She so desires to have a life of freedom and peace that we have here. And although we have many struggles, my friend Miriam is very, very excited when she thinks about America. I recently shared a picture on Viber with her, a picture of the Statue of Liberty, and she became so excited because every immigrant that comes to America sees that beautiful statue in New York Harbor. Well, this is what my friend Miriam wants. She wants the freedom that you and I experience and enjoy every day. It's a simple request. I want to wish every one of you, my listeners, a very blessed and Merry Christmas. Our last program about reading my book will be on Christmas Day this Thursday. God bless you and have a wonderful week.
Healing.